This evening's scripture reading will come from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Well, tonight could be interesting afterwards. All those new recipes that we're going to try. You know, over the years, Kara's made a few different recipes that I've never tried, and she's a good enough cook that I've never said, blah. Sometimes we both try something, and it's like, yeah, that's not really what we expected it to be. We both like watching cooking programs, and they'll be coming up with a new recipe, and it's going along swimmingly, and then they add jalapenos or cayenne pepper or something. Like, oh, we're out. We're out on those things. So I'm looking forward to our after services activities. And I know all you ladies have come up with some interesting things. Maybe a few guys have too. I don't know. So interestingly enough, this morning we alluded to the idea that we are a new creation. And so tonight I thought I would deviate a little bit from our Old Testament studies to talk about how we are a new recipe in Christ. Since we're doing new recipes out back, we're going to do a new recipes in Christ tonight. The funny thing about most recipes is when somebody first makes them, maybe they need more practice for them to come out the way that we want them to come out. But the recipes that we are in Christ are perfect. So let's just keep that in mind tonight. So Scripture often uses the idea that we are transformed or renewed or we're being made into something entirely new. And so tonight I want to talk about how we're new recipes in Christ. The first is the new ingredients. So we read this passage, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, in Ezekiel 36, 26. When God is working on us, He doesn't just improve the old mixture. He replaces the core ingredient. Christians receive a heart that desires God, not just self. That's the transformation that we go through when we become Christians. We have a new heart, a new desire. We have decided to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him and His needs and His leadership. So we need that new ingredient as the basic to our recipe. If we have a good heart, one that wants to follow Him, if we have a heart that is at the core of our recipe, we know that we're off to a good start and that good things will happen there. So secondly, He takes out the old ingredients. And again, we've taken ourselves out of the picture. A recipe changes when you remove what doesn't belong. Okay? So I know many of you like pizza. And many of you have strong opinions about what belongs on a pizza and what doesn't. I notice I haven't seen many of you eating anchovies on your pizza, right? There are some people that swear by those. Most of us don't. You take the old ingredients out, right? And it makes it better. Sometimes the saying, less is more, comes along. You know, we want to take those old ingredients out. And the old ingredient that, the main old ingredient that we need to take out of the recipe is ourself. It changes when we remove what doesn't belong. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Sinful patterns, old identities, and former ways of living are no longer the defining flavor. I've had this discussion with brothers and sisters who are new Christians, and they want to go back and hang out with the people who led them the wrong direction. Certainly, if they want to go talk to them about the gospel, certainly if they want to lead them to Christ, that's a good thing. Breaking off friendship completely is not usually demanded, but you don't want to live there. That's not the influence that you want in your life anymore. So you try to work through those things where you are able to be in the world and not of the world. But you try to remove those old ingredients, those old identities and former ways out of your life. So we take that new heart, and we take and put it in, and we take ourselves out, and we mix it with what? With Christ. We have a union with Him. A recipe becomes something new when the ingredients combine. You know, it's interesting to me that if you put yeast into flour, now I'm not the world's greatest cook, but I know a few things. If you put yeast into flour with water and some other things, and you let it set, it rises, right? That yeast changes it. It puts air in there and little bubbles, and it makes it fluffy or makes it doughy, if you will, okay? But sometimes we need to understand that we're going to change and be something different when we're united with Christ. We become something new when those ingredients combine. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me and I in you." Believers are united with Christ like dough mixed with yeast, inseparable and transformative. Okay, anybody want to eat bread that's just flour, no other ingredients? That wouldn't be good, would it? Okay, but bread with yeast and water and a few other things all mixed together, and it becomes an amazing concoction. Okay, then we want to season our recipe. It wants to be seasoned by the Spirit, a new power and a new flavor. The Holy Spirit is the seasoning that changes everything. The Holy Spirit enables us to produce fruit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no such law. The fruit of the Spirit enables us and empowers us to be obedient to God. It gives us spiritual gifts, and it brings a new aroma and a taste to the believer's life. You know, we're sometimes a little scared of the Holy Spirit discussion. How can you not read the Scriptures and understand that the words that are given to us produce something different? How can you not understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a comforter that helps us? We need to make sure that we're not trying to do things on our own, that we're relying upon God. So let's be seasoned by the Spirit. And then this morning we talked a lot about difficulties. You know, if you're making a good bread, sometimes you got to knead that stuff, right? You got to mix it and prod it and twist it and flop it and I don't know what else. Kneading, okay? What the cat does, kneads. Okay? We are kneaded, K-N-E-A-D-E-D, through trials, strengthened and shaped. Dough becomes bread through pressure and stretching. James 1:3 says, "The testing of your faith produces perseverance." God uses trials to shape believers into something strong and nourishing. You know, we're supposed to count it all joy when we're being tested, because we can show who we are and whose we are. And then we need to be baked in God's purpose. set apart for good works. Heat transforms raw dough into something useful. Ephesians 2:10 says we are created in Christ for good works. Christians are prepared, refined, and finished for God's purposes. You know, when that bread comes out of the oven and it's got that nice light brown glow to it, and you know, maybe you put a little butter on there and it's shiny. Man, I want to put some jelly on there right now. Okay, it's good stuff. It's amazing. And so when we are baked in God's purpose, we come out amazing. We're set apart for good works, things that enable us to show the Creator's love and to do that ministry of reconciliation. And then we are the aroma to the world, a witness of Christ. Back in the day, I worked at a Sears store. There's no Sears stores around anymore. Maybe one. There's none around anymore. Anyway, I worked every department at Sears Northland at one time. And we used to have this little area by the escalator where they would sell candy and stuff, but they would make popcorn. And you could smell that popcorn all the way out in the mall. It would waft all the way out the store, all the way out into the mall. And people would smell that and, oh, I got to go get some popcorn, right? Because they love that smell. When you go to Amish country and you go to some of those places and they have fresh bread and you smell it, man, how many loaves of bread come home from Amish country, okay? Because it smells so good. We are the aroma of Christ, 2 Corinthians 2:15. A transformed life gives off the fragrance of grace, love, and truth. And people want to be around that. Unless they've decided that your demonstration of grace, love, and truth reveals how far gone they are and they lose hope. We can be the aroma of death. So we get this perfect recipe and it's beautiful and we need to share it with others. Have you ever seen somebody who makes a great recipe, something that you tasted that's awesome, and you go, I got to get that recipe. And they go, I'm not sharing it. That was Granny Nana's recipe and it was a family recipe and I'm not sharing it. Okay. share the recipe of the word. Share it with other people. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others and make it a life that nourishes. A recipe isn't meant to stay in the kitchen. Believers are called to feed others with encouragement, truth, compassion, and service. The life of Christ in them becomes nourishment to the world. So what's the big picture? Christians aren't the old recipe with a little sugar sprinkled on top. We are the new recipe with new ingredients, a new mixture, a new purpose, a new flavor, and a new identity. And when you're walking out there in the world this week, remember that you're something special as a Christian to others and that you have something to offer. Don't let them tell you that you're worthless because you are the aroma of Christ. This evening, if maybe your recipe has soured and you need to get back to the original recipe, we would love to help you out. If you need to put on Christ in baptism and become that new creation, we would love to baptize you, washing away your sins, calling upon the Lord, rising to walk in the newness of life. Please come while we stand and sing.